Hey there, and welcome to Cyberpunk Librarian. I'm Daniel Messer. So this is going to be something that's a little different, and let me warn you right now, if you're not into the more technical side of library work, or at least library websites and stuff, you might want to skip this episode. Believe me, I'm not trying to turn you off of anything. I just don't want my listeners to be bored by an episode that's aimed squarely at techie librarians rather than a more general audience. See, on Thursday, April 16, 2015, I presented a talk at the Innovative Users Group in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Innovative Users Group is a national conference for people using library software and services sold by Innovative Interfaces Incorporated, sometimes called III. III bought the library automation system I've used for years, Polaris ILS, back in April of 2014. So what was once the Polaris users group will somehow be joining up with the existing Innovative users group at their conferences. Anyway, this talk was about a part of Polaris, the Online Public Access Catalog, or the OPAC. Polaris calls this their power pack, and it's a significant portion of my job to customize, tweak, maintain, fix, as well as create and add content to the power pack. Many libraries use their power pack simply as a catalog with some simple tweaks. And the purpose of this talk was to show them how they could get more out of their power pack with some coding, some work, and a little bit of hacking. I recorded the talk using my Apple earbuds set up as a lapel mic and plugged into my smartphone. I gotta say, it worked pretty well. I've cleaned up the audio a bit, but it's not going to be the same quality as what you're hearing now. Anyway, if you have the interest, listen on, welcome and thank you, and you can pick up the materials for the presentation in the show notes at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. Thank you so much, and now, Advanced Power Pack Customization, diving deep into your portal. Okay, folks, I'm going to go ahead and get started. It says it's 1:30 on my phone, so close enough. So hello, thank you for coming. I'm actually shocked to see so many people in a web thing, so hey, welcome. My name is Daniel Messer. I'm the web content manager for the Maricopa County Library District in Phoenix, Arizona. So hi, my name is Dan, and I do web stuff. Now, this presentation will have kind of two parts. There will be the slideshow, PowerPoint, Keynote thingy that I don't like at all because I hate PowerPoint and Keynote. So we're going to get right through that, and we're going to get into some more hands-on stuff, but just so you kind of know what we're doing here. So hi, I do web stuff. I told you're supposed to tell a little bit about yourself. So I've worked in libraries for almost 20 years. Since I was 18 years old, it was my second job after working a professional stage technician. I've been at a computer since I was 10 years old. I'm 38 now, so do the math. And I've used Polaris since its initial pre-release beta testing phase. The library I used to work for in Yakima, Washington, got it as a beta testing thing when it was brand new. We had gone out in search of an ILS. We discovered Gaylord Galaxy, I believe it was at the time, and we're kind of on the verge of getting that. And they said, no, wait, you don't want this. This is being discontinued. We have this new thing, and we'll give you a discount, but that's okay. So yeah, I've been using Polaris for a long time. I really, really like web-delivered content. That's odd, but it's sort of my thing. I watch the web, I watch YouTube, I do things online far more than I ever watch television, listen to the radio, stuff like that. And in the end, I don't consider myself to be a web designer, a developer, engineer, anything, you know, as lofty as that. In many ways, I'm kind of a jack of all trades at my library. So if I had to put a label on myself, well, I would call myself a hacker, because in many ways I solve problems, and that is what I get paid to do. I think you'll find in life that your boss really doesn't care how you do it as long as you do it, and that seems to be the kind of the thing that I do. So yeah, I would classify myself as a hacker because I'm not a C-sharp developer, I'm not a JavaScript developer, I can work with jQuery, but I don't write it. I mean, I just play with everything and kind of make it work. So if you're looking for certain things like clean code in this presentation, I am so sorry. So, okay. I have been known to write code most of the time, and I when it comes to writing anything other than web code, I'm usually writing code in anger. So, yeah. So, speaking of code, let's be honest. We're going to talk about coding, and that's extra boring. I'm going to have code on the screen. I'm going to try and make it as lively as possible because a lot of the stuff I'm doing is directly with the Polaris code itself, the web coding, the default.aspx, or aspects as I call it, up to my elbows in that stuff. So, Paul Erdős, who was a mathematician, said that mathematicians are machines for converting coffee into equations. I believe that coffee is there to do the same thing for programmers and code. So, you may feel like you have to take some notes, but I just told you how much I love web-delivered content. You should go to this web address here, cyberpunklibrarian.com, which I'll leave up on the screen for a few minutes, and just pick up everything. There you will find an Evernote full of all of my notes for this presentation. You will find my slideshow. You will find a zip file full of code snippets and the entire pack portal that we are currently using at MCLD. There are no secrets here. All of that stuff is going to go on the front page sooner or later, so I don't care who sees it. There'll be a few other little sundry things. There are contact form, all of that stuff. Just go there and get all this so you don't feel like you have to furiously scribble things down. Everything I have that will be in front of you today will be there, including the latest version of the PAC portal as it currently existed yesterday. So pretty up to date. Okay, so where I'm coming from. MCLD has a huge coverage area. We are a very large county. Maricopa County covers an area bigger than some East Coast states, and we have 17 very different branches in that county. We've got little tiny branches up in Aguila. We've got great big branches in Gilbert, Arizona. It's all over the place. It literally, if you drive from one of our southernmost branches in Queen Creek to the northernmost branch in Aguila, it will take you around 2.5 hours. It is a big area. So, and they're all different. No one branch is the same as the other. And all of these branches, for the most part, are highly event-driven. They like to bring people in with events, story times, author talks, whatever. Come in. Come in, see us. Check out some books. Check out some items. Look at this other thing we've got going on. So a lot of the stuff that goes on our front page is there to promote an event. It's there to get people into the library. So our front page is very much an advertising venue in some ways. But we have not yet adopted a CMS yet. We're working on it, but it's going to be a little while. So our front page is literally the front page of your Polaris Power Pack. I've just tweaked the heck out of it to make it do more, which is what I'm here to share with you. We run incredibly lean on staffing and always have. The web team consists of three people, me, myself, and I. So when it comes down to things, getting put on the web, getting taken off the web, getting updated to the web, all this happy stuff, I'm the guy who does it. I'm really the only guy who does it. The other people in IT don't really touch the website. The other person in the department who knows any real web coding at all is the CTO, and he's got other things to do. So when it comes down to it, I am the only person. I am John Dunbar. I am alone on the frontier, and I am dancing with wolves. So we are going to do crazy, crazy things. We're going to change the default.aspects file to include a better portal with more control. You can do this in Polaris System Administration. I prefer to do it at the code level because it gives you more control. And we'll see why here in a bit. We're going to add a jQuery-powered slider for promotional purposes. So the thing you see all over the flippin' web, I mean, there's sliders everywhere. The jQuery slider we use is called Nevo slider. It's all over the place. If you look around, you'll see it. And we're going to schedule those slides to go up and come down automatically. If you remember what I said about being the only person that does this, I like to have a day off sometimes. So if I can get stuff to go up and come down, you know, kind of like a content management system, that's great, because I don't have to worry about it. I can set and forget. We're also going to add a notification system for high-priority notifications and schedule those notifications in advance. So if we know we're going to be closed in 2 weeks for some holiday, I can put that up. 2 weeks before it happens, it will come down the day after the holiday automatically. So We're going to add an event calendar search right from the front page, which is a little bit difficult because the front page of the PowerPack is a big old form. And if you want to add another search button, another search feature in there, you kind of have to hack it in, which is kind of where I come in. We're going to put content carousels wherever we want without the toolkit. We are running Polaris 4.1 R2. We do not have access to the content carousels, but yet I have the content carousel wherever I want it to, with a little caveat, without the toolkit. I don't need it. Neither do you. Not that it's bad, but I don't have it yet. We upgrade late. So, warning. Lots of caveats to tell you here before we actually get started with anything. So check yourself before you wreck yourself and your pack too. You are going to be diving deep into stuff that Polaris does not condone, support, or will help you out of. So know what you're doing. If at any point you think, stop, get help, check the forums, ask people. I will happily hand out my email address, so if you have questions, I will do my best to help you. Keeping in mind, I'm not an expert either. Half of this stuff I've made up as I go along. And this is how I'm able to do it, is because I do have access to a testing and staging platform. We have a training pack. I can fiddle with that to my heart's content. I can break it. I can fix it. I can do whatever. And when I finally get something that I like, something that works, it's just a simple copy-paste to get that stuff on the production pack. So if you have that training and testing environment, that is your best friend. Make copies and backups of everything. I literally, in my room, have an external hard drive, USB 3.0, with a copy of the pack on it, just in case. It's there. So, unless you are 100% sure that you know that what you're about to try is going to work, and then make a backup anyway because you're crazy, you don't know that it's going to work. There are 50 ways to leave your lover. There are only 49 ways to bring down a Polaris power pack. One wrong bit of code, a missing semicolon, you accidentally called the same variable twice, brings it down. You'll get an error every time. It's a wonderful device, but it's fragile. So, let's get creative. Now this is, you know, more of the hands-on part. As we go on, please ask questions. I will also be available after this session. This is my last thing to do at the conference. I'm not flying out till tomorrow. Got plenty of time. So, here's my contact information and that URL again if you need to get in touch with me. I also have business cards. Everything at MCLD is just your first and last name at mcldaz.org. So Daniel Messer at mcldaz.org. You can hit me up on Twitter at Bibrarian. So, and I'll come back to the slide later. So, okay. Image credits because you have to. All right. So I've got a really small screen here, so bear with me. So yeah, here is our pack port. It's a little cut off because of the screen. I do apologize for it. So, okay. This is our MCLD pack portal. There are many like it, but this one is mine. And as you can see, I've got some of the things I promised. I have a little jQuery-powered slider up here that you can control. There's back and forth buttons. And when you mouse over it, it stops moving. So if you're interested in something, you just mouse over it, click it, whatever, it'll take you to the event. Different little featured events, the White Tank Owlfest. This Fix Your Car, this populated this morning without any help from me because I set it up before I left. This was stuff about tax season. Tax season ended yesterday, thank God. So, yeah, this also appeared without any intervention from me, other than, you know, setting it up. Just different things here. You know, we've got a little widget. We used Evanced Events, which is take it or leave it. Things. Here's a content carousel. We only use one, but it's just the standard most popular thing. So, okay, that's what we're looking at. That's what we're dealing with. Other than that, it's pretty much a vanilla pack. I mean, we haven't done a whole lot of CSS tweaking. About all we've done is kind of change the font size down here. We've got some custom stuff up here. You know, that's pretty normal. But there's not been a whole lot of design, look and feel tweaks. You're looking at a fairly normal power pack. And like I said, this is because we are getting a content management system. I hope within the next few months there will be a design aesthetic to that. I don't see much point in changing the pack now when I'm going to have to change it later anyhow, because guess who's probably going to do that? So, okay, this is what we are dealing with. Now then, let's see if I can get my code here to work. Excellent. This, ooh, wow, that's hard to see, but it'll work. So this is the default.aspx for Polaris. And like I said, I'm sorry, but there's going to be code. I will try and keep it lighthearted. You don't have to know what any of this means, for the most part, because really all it's doing is just giving the web server the instructions to build that pack when you access it. Some of the stuff is just standard HTML. Here's the page title. It pulls that from Polaris. Blah, 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 blah. Here's header information. So you can kind of go down through here and get an idea of what's going on. But we do a couple sneaky things, and one of them is right here in the middle. Start of user-defined modification. This is another thing that you should take to heart. If you're going to modify anything, you comment it. Always put comments. So this is a user-defined modification. We're using an HTML include here. And that is our pack portal. That is where the actual content lives. It doesn't live on Polaris. It's not called through Polaris precisely. It's called right here. I'm pointing at my screen like an idiot. It's called right here in the default.aspx file. The nice thing about this is you can then put your content wherever you want it. If you use the system administration to put your index.html file in there, which you can. There's nothing wrong with that. It puts it where it wants to. So it, I believe, will put it below content carousels. It's either above or below. I can't remember which, to be honest, because it's been a while since I looked at it. But the thing is, it does what it wants. If you do it this way, it goes where you want. Because if you go down the code a little bit, if there is a custom portal HTML, you know, this is the Polaris bit, then display it. Okay. So we put it there anyway. Here's the main content. Polaris has the ability to do like a random book jacket thing that some libraries use, where it's just show off a book, show off a book, show off a book. If we were using that, we're not. Our content would be above that. If we wanted it to be below that, I could take this very code right here and move it down here, and it would be below that. So I'd have the book cover, our content, everything else. Moving down a little farther, portal page carousels. If you want your content carousel to be above your content, you just put that include file below the portal page carousel stuff. That's it. But that gives you the flexibility that Polaris doesn't quite give you, because you can put it wherever you like. And I kind of like that. We took kind of a straw poll and decided that we wanted the content carousel at the bottom. If next week we decide to suddenly change our minds, I move that little snippet of code around right here, put it down, hit save. You don't even have to reload the pack. It just will work. So like I said, comment everything, but this right here is the thing that will probably get you in the most trouble, because you are modifying the file that actually tells Polaris how to build that web page when it's called. Like I said, use your training environment. Use your testing environment. You can break that. Just remember to make a backup copy. And I just copy it into the same directory. I'll have a default-copy.aspx. Oh, that didn't work. Delete the old one, you know, delete the new one, put the old one back, and you're fine. So, okay. That's where you can put it. Now, the thing is you can do this with any other, standard default page in the Polaris Power Pack. So if you want, like, to put a banner on your patron your patron login screen, you can do the same thing. Just include this kind of thing, or you could just write the code if you want and put it in there too. Once again, if you have a content management system, this probably isn't such a big deal. But since we don't, necessity has become the mother of invention. So, okay. Here is the actual content. Now, this is straight HTML with, you know, the standard JavaScript, jQuery, blah, 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 blah. But for the most part, just HTML. You can see, you know, it doesn't have a header, it doesn't have an HTML thing, whatever, because it's being called as an include. You don't have to put all that stuff in there if you don't want to. As a matter of fact, if you do, it can mess up certain other things, because when it renders the page and you've got that, you know, HTML, head, stuff in the head, slash head, body, stuff in the body, and you've now got two head tags, you've got two HTML tags, you've got two body tags, because the default.aspx file is going to create those HTML body header tags for you. So you don't need any of that in the include. So, okay, we're just going to kind of go through this. I'm going to go back to my website here, and we're going to start at the top. These slides here, these just go through. There are so many of them every day, whatever. For the most part, our policy on that is we're not going to advertise your story time as a big front page slide. But something interesting, here's an author visit. Of course, we're going to want that as a front page event. Muslim rescue and resistance during the Holocaust. So this is a historical thing. And on and on. Fully controllable. And if you click on the thing, say here, there's the link to the event. So, okay. Where is that? Well, let's see here. Here's a bunch of JavaScript that actually calls Nevo Slider. There's plenty of documentation for that, but let's get down here where the interesting stuff is. Here is our slider. Once again, look, we've commented everything. Even if you're the only person doing this, comment it, because you'll be changing code at 7:45 in the morning, pre-coffee, and you don't know where anything is. So, okay. Here is the actual code for the slide. This is it. That gives it the link. That gives it the image to call. It gives it an alt tag, so you're compatible with screen readers and stuff like that. All of that stuff is there. But you'll notice there's this stuff above and below. Now, this is code that I hacked from a guy who used to work for us named Tommy Cooks. And Tommy he retired not that long ago. He's a great guy. But he wrote this code to do things like populate the closing notices automatically. And that's really all we used it for. So I decided, if I can use it for one thing, I can use it for another. And one of the things I can use this for is to populate slides at a given time on a given date and bring them down on a given time and a given date. And even if you don't know C#, you can go through this and kind of see what's going on. System, date, and time. This right here is a variable. Sun City, I have no idea. Oh, yeah, American Movie Masters. So this is for the apartment. That's what they were showing. So this is just a variable. Sun City, the apartment, start date. April 9, 2015. Below that you have the same variable. You call the same variable over and over again. This is the end date. So I want to come down, this was actually thrown up the day of. It was like, oh my God, we need a thing, so. But you can tell it came down on the 9th again at 1:45. You can actually give it a time to come down. I usually set it to come down half an hour before the event actually happens. That way you kind of get the maximum exposure and people who haven't seen it half an hour before the event aren't going anyway. So you can bring it down at a given time. If you go down a little further, here's one that stays up a little longer. This was up till the 10th. These were both emergency slides that I haven't cleaned up yet, so. And here's another one. LP, Litchfield Park. I have no idea what this, Minute to Win It. It was a game show type thing they were doing. Start date 4/9/2015. End date was 4/13/2015. I'm sorry, 2015 at 3:30. You have to use 24-hour time. So these go up and come down at my will. And I can set them up days, weeks, even months in advance, and then forget about it, which is great. But when I first got started about 3 years ago, they would send me a thing. I'd have to put it on my calendar. This slide needs to go up at a certain time. I need to make sure I pull it at a certain time if I'm home, and I have to log into the VPN. Oh, it's just a mess. So this code here looks like a lot to write, but in the end, you're only changing one thing. Well, I'm sorry, more than one thing, but very small things. You're changing this variable. And the variable itself has to be unique. You call the same variable twice, you're going to bring down the pack. You want to make sure that your time codes are formatted, but you'll have to change those. And that's kind of about it. Once you have that down, you can, make that work for you. Now, for a while, what I was doing is I had a text expander program called Phrase Express, where I would just type new slide, no space in between, and it would write out sort of like the boilerplate code, and I'd make my changes, and that's okay, great. That saved on mistakes, because if you keep typing the same code over and over again, you'll get a typo, you'll call the wrong variable, in the same statement, and then you bring down the pack. Are you seeing a pattern here? So, with that Phrase Express text expander thing, you can do the same thing on Mac. I just go in and change things until the one day that I forgot to put in .jpeg at the end of an image, And the code works. It goes up and you see the same slide. They stay on screen for, I think it's 8 seconds. And then one slide would come up and stay on screen for 16 seconds because it didn't know what to do. There was no other slide to populate. Typo, my bad. So, I'm going to have to bring this up here. I wrote a thing in a scripting language called AutoHotkey. And the code for this is available on GitHub. It's also on that PowerPack thing that I linked you to on Cyberpunk Librarian. This is code that writes code. And it keeps me from having to write the same code over and over again. I typically get a lot of slide requests near the end of the month because they want stuff to go on the website nearer to the beginning of the month. So I can guarantee you starting next week, I'm probably going to have about 20 slides to make for the 17 branches. So this allows me to just go ahead and make those slides in Photoshop. I save them to a directory, and then I get into this little doohickey here and start populating it with stuff. Let me show you what that looks like. Here we go. So all I do is fill it in. Please provide a code for the slide deck. That has to be unique. What's the name of the slide? I copy and paste so it's never wrong. Provide a URL for the slide deck. Usually that's an Evanced event link. I just copy and paste that, so that's rarely wrong, unless I copy and paste the wrong link. I did that once. What should be the alt text for the slide? It's literally asking you everything you need to do to make this code work. I have two calendars here. What is the date of the event? Great. What time should the slide come down, and when should the slide go live? Usually we put them up a week beforehand, but some events are big, so we'll put it up 2-3 weeks, sometimes a month beforehand. So you can set all your variables here. You click submit. You get a nice little box that says, that was very good. Do you need another? And that code has been copied to your clipboard. You pop back into your web IDE or whatever you're using and paste it, and that's it. Once again, this is up on GitHub if you want to use it. It's totally free for you. So this eliminated all the typos. This eliminated all the errors. This eliminated all my problem. And now when I get those 20 slide requests, after I make them, that can take a little while. But populating them through the website, all 20, takes about 10 minutes. It's very quick and easy. Especially when you kind of get your flow. You know, here's a thing, here's a thing, here's a thing. Submit, click, pop, paste, back and forth. It's real easy. So, okay, that's populating slides. And as you can see, I got a crap load of them here. This is all slides. Now, the nice thing is when the default.aspects reads this in, when it reads the include file, this is C# code here, so it doesn't even render that to your website unless it meets the criteria. So if this slide is not set to go live today, it doesn't show up in the source for your website either. So it's just not there. You can right-click, view source, it's not there. So if you really want to keep stuff secret, you can, but I'm calling stuff that's right on the events calendar. So once again, no secrets. But as you see, I've got tons of them. And I put them in order, roughly. So as of yesterday, I have stuff set up until to go live on May 2nd. I'm not exactly sure when I put that in there, but it was quite a while ago. May 2nd, May 1st, so yeah. All of these are slides, and save me a ton of work right there. Up here, moving on a little bit, this is our automated closure notice, or any automated notice that we want to put on the front page. Usually it's going to be closed Easter, going to be closed July 4th, going to be closed whatever. Sometimes it's, a few months ago it was, we had a bit of a flooding problem in Phoenix. I know, weird, but we had a flooding problem. And one of our branches, the Guadalupe branch in Guadalupe, Arizona, was underwater. I mean, not completely, but there was a good 6 inches or so of water on the floor. Naturally, we closed the branch. So we threw up a thing here that I just put kind of an indefinite date on. Hey, Guadalupe branch is closed until further notice. I set the display date to today, so it goes up today. And then I found out from our branch coordinator they should be open, next Monday. Okay, what's next Monday's date? Plug that in. There you go. Goes up, comes down. I do nothing else. Which is nice because I don't have time to keep second-guessing. Did I remember this? Did I remember this? Did I remember this? So it's the same code. You can use the same exact code. I just have this AN1 here because I know that's something I'll never call for slides. That way I don't get confused. The layout itself It's just a template I pulled off of a free template place. There's all kinds of thank yous and credits given in the source itself. So what have we done here? We've got an automated notice. Of course, we don't have one now because there's really nothing coming up soon. We've got the slides. These go up and come down automatically. Slides go up and come down automatically. The featured events and stuff like that, these little callouts, guess what? Same code. They're below the slides, so I've got to scroll down here. There we go. Yeah, here's the featured event stuff. Yeah. Here it is, White Tank Outfest. Freegal. Looking for it. Hold on, Zinio. Doot. Taxes! Here it is. Yeah. Here's the tax stuff. Tax season. Here was all the, you know, here's all the stuff that was there when it was tax season. Here's the image link. Here's the alt tag. Here's a little bit of text that was with it. The link to more information. All that, you know, all that happy stuff. That went up roughly, I put it up earlier than this, but I wanted to automate this part so I could come to the conference and not worry about it. So I just set it for that date. It was April Fool's. And then I set this in date to come down on the 15th at 11 p.m. And when it came down, it was replaced by this thing here, the Chilton's Library, which went up at 11 p.m. and 5 seconds. I like to give it a little buffer. And it'll come down May 30th or whenever I need to bring it down. So that just goes up and comes down once again automatically. And it's all the same code. So you can repurpose that code throughout your pack. You can repurpose that code throughout anything else because Polaris will call it as needed. Okay. So back to this. All right. So these are also automated, as you just saw. This stuff here is just sort of standard run-of-the-mill. We've got a drop-down selection list here. This is just a, you know, a quick jQuery, JavaScript-powered, you know, selection thing. You click a link, it takes you to that events calendar for that branch. But over here under featured events, I had a request from almost all of the branches. If you've ever used Advanced Events, you know that the event search is kind of that's fine and everything. But Advanced Events does have the ability to basically make a custom URL to search the calendar. You can hack that custom URL and give it your own data and thus search the calendar using that. So all this is just a sort of simple JavaScript replace. So take what they give me, feed it into this URL with this parameters, blah, 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 and give me the events. The problem is that this is a big form, and when you hit enter anywhere on this page, Polaris assumes that you hit enter here. That's not cool. I mean, you can't say, no, you gotta click the button. No one's gonna click the button. They wanna hit enter. So if I come down here and do Pokemon, hit enter, give it a second, the Wi-Fi is, There we go. Here's the Pokemon events coming up. Also Pokemon events that have already happened. That was a feature they asked for too, so they could see past events. So here's, you know, anything that matches that Pokemon. Launches in a new window. Back here is the pack. I had space in there, so it searched anyway. But what this code is, once again, this is all on that power pack thing that I referred you to. Let me find it here. Is jQuery blah, blah, blah. Get back down here. All right, so here it is. You don't have to know JavaScript because you can copy and paste this. It'll work. At least works everywhere I've tried it. What's happening is down here, you'll see two things, event prevent default and event stop propagation. That's what stops it searching Polaris and says, no, search this box. This box only. Don't do anything. So using that, you can still add another. You could add more if you want, but I don't know why you would. Event searching was hard enough as it was. So that code is available to you as well, where you can just go in, copy it in, and when you search something here, you'll notice, let me do Pokemon again. It opens it in another window, and you can see it kind of reload the pack here. That's sort of the little secret. It does search the pack, but it searches for nothing and just reloads the pack. So no harm, no foul, it still works. Like I said, get a content management system, you don't have this problem, but I don't have a content management system. So, finally, I believe on our list, content carousels. I was in a thing a couple days ago, and they're talking about these, you know, that you couldn't modify them, you couldn't do, you couldn't kind of change their look. I'm sitting there like, what? Sure you can. It's CSS. you can do whatever you want with the CSS. Let me do this. Simcldr, custom, blah, blah, blah. And let's do Halloween. We got a Halloween page up. I'm too lazy to take it down. So here's Halloween page. It is on our website, but you can tell pretty quickly this is not a Polaris Power Pack page. And oh, look at that. Multiple content carousels. The things are orange. The stuff has been changed. All I'm doing is calling the same CSS that I gave a different name and changed some parameters for the Halloween thing so I don't screw up my pack. So you can put these wherever you want, and I'm going to show you how. We're going to look at the source for this. I don't understand why I don't see more of these, you know, in more places, because quite frankly, they're just a JavaScript jQuery-powered widget. JavaScript and jQuery is 100% portable. You can take it anywhere. Polaris actually makes it easy to do so because all of the JavaScript needed to power that widget right here is called based on the URL. It's not called relatively. You can copy and paste that and put it anywhere you want. You put the JavaScript stuff up here and down here. Here we are. Here are the content carousels. Now, the first question you might ask is, okay, great. How do you get it? The easy answer to that is, since we do not have the content carousel toolkit, I wait till about 6 in the morning, and I'll make my content carousel using a bibliographic record set, whatever, you know, I need to use. This one was for Halloween, so I put a bunch of stuff in the Halloween thing that, you know, someone had given me. And then I just put it right on the front page. Boom. It goes right below the most popular items. So if someone just comes and visit the page at 6:05 in the morning, they're probably not even going to see it. It's all the way down here. Go over there, open it up, view the source. Here's all the source you need from this div align equals center, blah, 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 on the way down. Once again, all this code's available on that link. And you can do all kinds of changing here, but it tells you what you've got. Here's your total items, 15. You can fiddle with it to your heart's content, and I ask you to do so. But right here, scroll. 5. You want 6? Change it to 6. You want 4? Change it to 4. You can kind of fiddle with it to your heart's content, even if you're not running 5.0. We're still running 4.1 R2. Now, when I brought this up at an earlier event, someone was kind of skeptical. They said, well, yeah, but it's still on the MCLD website. Like, here's our Owlfest thing that we're doing at White Tank. But once again, you can see it's not an MCLD pack page. But here's the content carousel. I haven't done much modification to this one. So I literally took this code, I changed the ASPX to .html, and I uploaded it to my own website, bibliosos.com. Here it is. Still works. The only caveat to this is it does not update if you update that record set. But for something like this, we don't need to update the record set. I mean, I don't think the branch manager of White Tank is going to come running to me. No, wait, we have 5 more books. Now, if she does, fine. I can still put that thing right back on the front page, go to the front page, get the source, copy it over, put it where I need to. Yes, this is hacking at its lowest level. But the fact is, like I said, when you're the only guy doing this and someone wants a thing done, try and solve the problem. And I did. The White Tank branch manager does not care how these content carousels wound up on this page. Believe me, I know, because I talked to her about it, and she does not care. But she's happy that they are. And this all still calls you. You still get your cover images, because once again, we're using syndetics, but that's all called based on a URL. It's not called relatively. All of the stuff here, Polaris populates that by control number, so it doesn't matter that you're not on the pack. I click that, I will get taken to the pack whenever the wireless decides that's okay for me to do. There we go. And there's the thing itself. So you can put that anywhere you want, whether you've got 5.0 in the toolkit or not. It's a little work, but it's fairly easy work, 15 minutes worth of work, you know, not counting building the bibliographic record set. So, okay. One more time, let's go back to this. So, putting aside all of the design stuff here, the layout, because the layout doesn't matter. You can do these kind of things, the slide deck, the notices at the top. You can, you know, whatever call-outs or whatever you use. You can do any of that with your power pack, whether or not it's your main portal like it is for us, or whether it's just something that's there in the background that people go to. Because it amazes me. I'll go to different library websites and they've got a beautiful front page. It's like, wow, that's awesome. And it's like, I want to search the catalog, and I get taken to the catalog and it looks about the same as mine. But they've just got content carousel, content carousel, content carousel, content carousel, content carousel. That's valuable real estate. I know it's not your front page, but it's at least the second page. So even if you do have a beautiful content management system that you're using that is, you know, the front page of your library's website, you can still hack this stuff into your Polaris Power Pack. So one other caveat before I get out of here and open this up to questions is, used to be we had everything kind of shoved into a library slash user-defined thing. That was fine. But of course, every upgrade, Polaris comes along, overwrites everything, which is why before an upgrade, I always copied the entire pack to two different hard drives. And that's including what my system administrator, Johnny, was backing up to. I trust no one, not even myself. So put everything in your custom folder. That's where all this lives. You go to your power pack layout. You will have, you know, the standard, you know, the root folder where all your default.aspx stuff. There'll be a custom folder there. Put stuff in that. Polaris leaves that alone, or at least they should. They tell me they do. I copy the entire power pack anyway. But they, at least in the last upgrade, they left it alone. All of my changes were already in place for the most part. There was some stuff I was waiting on for after the upgrade. So when I first got hired as the web guy, after my 6 months probationary period, where they can fire you for pretty much any reason, right at the end of that, we had an upgrade. And it was going to be my job on my own after 5 months of training to put the power pack back the way it was. Thank you very much. Little nerve-wracking, kind of. They don't allow me to drink at work. Took me about 4 hours. Part of that was just new kid not really knowing quite what he's doing, so there was that. This next time around, with the last upgrade, took me 2.5. The other half hour was waiting for Polaris to upgrade a SIP thing that they forgot to upgrade, so something was broke. So I couldn't leave until that was done. Took me about 2 hours to put everything back the way it was, and a lot of that also stems from my own paranoia. I clicked every link just to make sure, because a lot of stuff changed. The next time around, I seriously don't think it will take more than 2 hours for me to do whatever I need to do to the pack, especially since we'll probably have a content management system by then anyway. So I believe that's about it. At least that's all I have time for. Like I said, all of this code is available to you. If nothing else, go to mcldaz.com, right-click and view the source. Go to, you know, cyberpunklibrarian.com/powerpack. I've got all the code snippets there. The power pack as it currently exists, at least the custom part. I didn't copy everything. You don't need that. And you can play around with it. Copy it to your training server. Copy it to your testing environment. Start fiddling with it. There's nothing wrong with that. If you have questions, you've got my contact information. And if you have questions, I'm available right now. Does anyone have questions? Wow, that's scary. Yes! Yes, sir.
Hi! So if you are going to be doing things like this, mm-hmm. I actually recommend that you use source control.
Yes.
As opposed to backups onto disk. There are three options out there. Some of you have been hearing about our Jira system made by a company called Atlassian. They have a free option for 5 users or less called Bitbucket, which is a hosted solution. If you know anything about this, it uses Git or Mercurial backend system. So just throwing that out there that, you know,
especially if you have more than one person doing the site.
I recommend.
Yeah, source control is good. The only reason I don't use it is because I'm the only guy doing it. So, I mean, it kind of seems a little overkill for me. So, but yeah, if you've got more than one person working your site, bless you, and use source control, absolutely. Any other questions? Sweet. That was kind of weird. Okay, well, I'm done. So if you all want to get out of here and, like, go get coffee and stuff, that's great. I'll be around, so if you need me, you know, hit me up. My email is danielmesser@mcldaz.org, and happy to answer questions. Thank you all for coming. So hey, if you listened this far, thank you very much. I hope the talk was at least somewhat interesting to you, especially if you happen to be a web librarian or a librarian who happens to deal with your public access catalog on a fairly regular basis. Anyway, thanks for listening, and we will be back next week as usual with another real episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. I just figured this might be of some interest to some of the more technical web-based librarians out there, and it really wasn't much of a thing to record the audio, so why not? Let's make a show out of it. The song you're currently digging on is Hyperspace Adventure by Skip. Earlier in the show, you heard Quantum Leaper featuring Lady Parsec by Azureflex. And as always, the opening track is Billy Dance at Ebisu by Ryo Miyashita. You can pick all of those up at cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, where you will also find all of my presentation notes, materials, code snippets, the slide deck, and more for the presentation you just heard. So if you really have an interest in this stuff, check out cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast, and all of the stuff you will ever need, and more than that, will be there for you. Cyberpunk Librarian is hosted by the Internet Archive at archive.org. Great people doing great things. They've got so much wonderful content at the archive, from the Prelinger Video Archives to other podcasts to video games that you can just download and play in your browser. It's great. Internet Archive at archive.org. Check them out. Before we get out of here, I want to announce not one, but two new shows coming soon to what is rapidly becoming the Cyberpunk Librarian Podcast Network. The first you may already know about is it's a throwback to the exciting days of pulp sci-fi magazines and radio drama. It's high adventure in deep space with librarians. I am talking about Intragalactic Librarian, The Adventures of Skylar and Jessica, coming in May, so watch for it on cyberpunklibrarian.com/podcast. And hey, I am excited to announce the return of the show that got me into podcasting in the first place. It's a show about the surprising links between events in the past and how they came to shape our present and eventually our future. So, coming soon, right here on the Cyberpunk Librarian Podcasting Network, the return of Hyperlinked History. So I am going to get out of here with that, and I will see you next Monday for a regular episode of Cyberpunk Librarian. One where we won't get into the hardcore technical side of library work, something that's a little bit more about the intersection of libraries and technology, and all about living that high-tech, low-budget lifestyle. And with that in mind, I just have to remind you that you don't have to be high-tech to be low-budget, but it certainly helps if you're a cyberpunk. I'll see you next week.